let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. Last week we looked at the first part of the chapter and Jesus' encounter with Legion. We saw that the storm the disciples previously encountered may have been an attempt by the devil and his demons to thwart this encounter, but nonetheless that was unsuccessful. We saw the destructive nature of sin as revealed by the condition, the spiritual and physical condition of the man who was possessed by Legion. We saw how the old nature is something that cannot be tamed, and that's why we're all slaves to sin before our conversion. We saw the devil's response to Jesus' presence. They recognized his power, his ability, his person, and such. And of course, the devils do that, yet many men seem to refuse to acknowledge the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and his omnipotence. We saw that some there in Gadara wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They were rather scared by what had transpired rather than excited. And then we saw a picture of salvation in this man because he went from dwelling in tombs and in graves amongst dead men to having a home in heaven. The title of the message this morning, though, is "Had Spent All." Or you could also subtitle it "When You Run Out of Options." And what we'll look at this morning is Jesus' encounter with Jairus and the woman with an issue of blood. And so let's begin reading our text in verse 21. It says, "And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." I say Jairus, but really it's Jairus, so I'll pronounce it both ways probably, by name. "And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou thy master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. Thank you for the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for recording it for us, Lord, that it might be a help and encouragement to us. And Lord, as we look at these historical events recorded for us in the Scriptures this morning, might we not only be blessed by what transpired some 2,000 years ago, but might we see how this text applies to our life. And Lord, whether we be a saint or a sinner, might we be encouraged by what we see. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the title of the message is, Had Spent All. So considering what we looked at last week and what we're going to look at here this morning, Jesus encounters three different individuals. And as we're going to see and emphasize this morning, the condition of these individuals seemed to be hopeless. And you could even say the same about the previous encounter with the man who was possessed by legion. All three looked like hopeless situations. And the first of the two individuals we want to look at this morning is Jairus. And the first thing the Scriptures tell us about this man is that he was a ruler of the synagogue. Notice there in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. You know, this tells us something of this man. It tells us that he had power and he had authority. Being a ruler of the synagogue, he had power to tell people, no doubt, what to do. I don't know what his specific responsibilities were, but I can imagine him telling people to clean the synagogue or to prepare for some special service. Perhaps he would be the one who would make the schedule for different events at the synagogue. As a ruler of the synagogue, he probably had power to bring about change, and I'm talking about change within the synagogue itself. If he wanted things rearranged, well, he could rearrange them or have someone do that for him. If he wanted to remodel, perhaps those responsibilities fell upon him. Maybe there was a motion to, you know, build on to the facility. Well, he perhaps could have been one that was in charge of that particular project. He had power. He had authority. And as a ruler of the synagogue, he was a spiritual ruler, and no doubt he had power to influence people to do certain things like live holy lives and obey God. He was not just your normal citizen. He was acquainted with power and authority. He would often be someone, no doubt, that others would come to for help. Certainly many would come to him with their prayer requests and ask him to pray for them and to pray for their loved ones and to pray for their friends. There were others, no doubt, that would come to him and ask for counsel. Maybe their marriage was not all that it could be, and so they would come and seek biblical and spiritual advice from this ruler of the synagogue. Or maybe other couples had a rebellious child and they were at their wits' end and they just did not know exactly what to do next, and they would come to Jairus and ask him, and he would give advice and he would give counsel, you know, according to the Scriptures, what they might be able to do to resolve the situation. He was probably also used to people doing things for him. You know, as a preacher, that's something that I can relate to. Here, this man, he wasn't just, you know, a political leader, but he was somewhat of a spiritual leader. And many times this kind of motivates and encourages people to do nice things for you. When he had, you know, a broken wagon, a creaky door, or a leaky roof, there was probably people in the synagogue who would offer their assistance free of charge because of his position. There was probably individuals in the community who would help him with, you know, financial obligations. If something came up unexpectedly and he had this bill, had this huge charge, there were probably folks down at the synagogue that would hear about, you know, what had happened, and they would, you know, put some money in an envelope and hand it to him and meet the financial need. And I'm sure the people in the synagogue loved him and would occasionally send him off with his wife to a retreat or some other type of trip. Again, here was a man who had a power, had authority, a man that would often be a help to others, and there were times, no doubt, that others would be a blessing and a help to him. And though he had all these things, though he was accustomed to being able to help people in their time of need, and though he was accustomed to people helping him in his time of need, he now faced a situation where even with all of his power and all of his authority, he could do nothing. He had a situation where all of his friends and all the congregants at the synagogue could do nothing about. It says that his daughter lieth at the point of death. All he could do is what he did in verse 22, was to throw himself at the feet of Jesus. And he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus for help. But you know, even as he came to the Lord for help in his time of need, his help became delayed. Look there at verse number 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. You know, that means there was people everywhere. You ever try to make your way out of a crowded room? What might normally take you, you know, just a couple of seconds, all of a sudden takes a few minutes as you're saying, excuse me, pardon me, and going to the left and going to the right. It's not really a straight line. It's a zigzag line. Well, that's what this man encountered as he sought the help of Jesus. He had this urgent need. His daughter was dying. He wanted to get the Lord there as quickly as possible. But he was met with delay. And as we'll see here in just a moment, this delay probably was divine, as it would further reveal this man's hopeless condition, which, by the way, we'll talk in a moment about why that's a good thing. And not only did he encounter the delay of the multitudes, the throng of people, but no sooner does he get Jesus' attention and begin approaching his house that it says a certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, look down at verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Amongst the people is a woman And this woman is going to delay Jairus from getting his help immediately. But before we kind of come back to Jairus and his daughter, let's look here at this woman and Jesus' encounter with this woman, because this transpires in the middle of Jairus seeking the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things I notice about this woman is that she was one of many. One of many. I mean, there were thousands that were surrounding Jesus. And she was just one of the thousands. And unlike Jairus, she had no esteemed position in the community. Therefore, she had little power over the affairs of man. She had little power to influence others. She had very few volunteers, perhaps, that would come to her assistance and to her aid in her time of need. And being just one person amongst thousands who had needs, the potential of her gaining Jesus' attention was small. But she had tried everything else. Maybe she knew the chances of getting a face-to-face visit with the Lord Jesus Christ was small, but she didn't know what else to do. In verse 26, it says that she suffered, and that just means aloud. I'm not really talking about, you know, literally suffering. I think most of us know by now the old English word suffer means to allow. And she had allowed many things of many physicians. I mean, she went to a lot of doctors. She had spent all that she had, all of her money, and she was nothing better. If you imagine this happened today, you know, she'd go to her primary care physician, and she'd, you know, get an examination and maybe even a few tests, and yet her family practice doctor would say, "I don't know what this is, but let me refer you to a specialist." And she'd go to the specialist, and again, they would run more extensive tests. And maybe even some things were recommended by the specialist. But whatever was recommended didn't help. And he said, maybe you should get a second opinion. Maybe you should go to the city, to a special specialist. And she went to the special specialist. And he ran even more extensive tests. Gave her other recommendations. And she tried all those things to no avail. She had procedures. Perhaps she had surgeries. She took medications and nothing helped. She tried alternative medicines. Eating all organic food. She tried a Mountain Dew diet. Nothing helped. She tried everything. And as the text says, she just grew worse. You know, they say nothing else matters when you have poor health. Probably something hard for many of us to grasp. But this woman had dealt with her infirmity for 12 long years without any relief, without any comfort. Boy, this woman, she sure possessed great faith. It says there in verse 28, for she said, this is what she said to herself, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. you know, after so many failed attempts at other things, she really believed that Jesus could help her. She was so confident, she didn't need a face-to-face meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't need Him to wave His hand in the air or say some sensational words. She thought to herself, all I have to do is get close enough to touch Him. And if I can just but touch His garments, I can be cleaned. And she touched Him, and immediately her infirmity was gone. And at this, probably to Jairus' anxieties, caused Jesus to stop in His tracks. He stopped walking. He stopped moving. And Jairus had to have been thinking, what are we doing? Why are we stopping? And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples recognized this as a somewhat silly question. Who touched you? I mean, there's people everywhere. Everywhere. Probably dozens of people who touched you. But Jesus recognized that there was something special about that woman's touch. She touched Him in faith. Of course, being God, He knew who touched Him. It was no surprise to Him. But I believe He did this for the woman's benefit and perhaps for ours. He wasn't going to let her go without an encouraging word. And so it says in verse 32, and He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. What made her whole? It was her faith. Her confidence in Jesus' ability to heal her. And it says in verse 35, getting back to the Jesus' first encounter, and while He yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. You can only imagine how Jairus must have felt when he heard those words. Maybe he thought to himself, if only we would not have been delayed. If only the crowds wouldn't have delayed us. If only the woman would not have delayed us. We might have made it back in time. But now it appears it was too late. And the men had lost all hope. They said, why troublest thou the Master any further? As I mentioned, it seems to me that perhaps this delay had a purpose. That maybe it was divine in its origin. I mean, the crowds delayed Jesus. The woman delayed Jesus. Even Jesus delayed Himself whenever He stopped, insisting on speaking to the woman. But I believe that this delay that Jairus encountered helped him to see even more so how helpless his situation was. How outside of Jesus, There was nothing that was going to be able to be done for his daughter. Perhaps if she had not died, perhaps if she was just sickly and Jesus arrived, he could heal her and that would somewhat be expected. But now he gets word that she's dead. To heal a sick person is one thing, but to raise the dead? And everybody had given up hope. Why troublest thou the Master any further? They said, just let him go. But Jesus speaks to the man and gives him encouraging words there at the end of verse 36. He says, be not afraid, only believe. I don't think Jesus would have spoke those words had the man not been afraid. I don't think Jesus would have spoke those words had the man not doubted. And Jesus would take the parents of the young lady and three of his disciples into the girl's room. And despite the doubts of others, and despite the mocking laughter of others, despite the delays that they encountered, and despite a seemingly hopeless situation, the girl would be raised to life. Again, you look at this chapter, and there appears to be three hopeless situations. A man that no one could tame. A young lady on the brink of death and who does die. And a woman who had an issue of blood, who had exhausted all options, sought help from multiple people, and yet none could help. Three hopeless situations. And yet situations the Lord Jesus Christ was able to work in and bring about results that very few could have imagined. Again, we have here before us three earthly encounters that the Lord Jesus Christ had. But what do they mean to us? All Scripture is given to us, and they're all profitable to us. What are we to take from this chapter? What are we to take from these encounters? Well, let me read to you a verse from the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. It speaks of Gentile people, which all of us would be Gentiles. It says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Notice that one phrase, having no hope. That was us before Christ, having no hope. And we're not talking about, you know, hope of a healthy life here. We're not talking about, you know, hope of being in our right minds necessarily. But we're talking about hope of heaven. Hope of an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were without hope. And every sinner is without hope that is apart from Jesus Christ. Because no sinner can save themselves. No one can save the sinner. No man, that is. We're unclean, lost, condemned, hopeless. And we may try reformation. We may try to change our life. As they say, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We may try religion. We may try good works to appease our conscience and to merit salvation. We might try baptism and church membership and an assortment of other things, but in the end we'll find none of it helps. No, we grow the worse. The desire of our soul is still unmet, and we become more and more anxious. Maybe once we've tried everything, to no avail. Well, if that's you, if you've tried everything to no avail, maybe you should turn to Jesus. If reformation hasn't helped, if religion hasn't helped, baptism, church membership hasn't helped, maybe you should turn to Jesus. Like Jairus, maybe you should throw yourself at His feet. I think we all recognize this, but some things are so important they bear repeating. Apart from Christ, we have no hope. Our situation before Christ was, is just as hopeless as the maniac of Gadara's, just as hopeless as Jairus' daughter, just as hopeless as the woman with the issue of blood. Just as hopeless. And there's only one who can help and give hope where there is none. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, come to Jesus. Trust Him. Put your faith and confidence in what He's done for you to save you, and He will save you. If you are saved, boy, you should certainly appreciate the day that Jesus passed by and that you fell before Him and ask for forgiveness, because without His help, we were all doomed to suffer an eternity in hell. So praise the Lord He came. Praise the Lord He saved us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for these encounters that Jesus had with others. For Lord, they teach us something of ourselves. Lord, in each encounter in this chapter, I believe we're presented with a hopeless situation. A hopeless case. Lord, the man at Gadara, many tried to chain him down, but none of those chains would hold him. With the woman with an issue of blood, many physicians had tried to cure her infirmity, but they all failed. And Lord, we don't know specifically to what extent Jairus went to heal his daughter, but all attempts to heal her failed as well, at least until Jesus came. And Jesus did something more amazing than heal a sick girl. He raised her from the dead. And Lord, when we were lost and in our sin, when we were dead men, at least dead men spiritually, You came along and You quickened us when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that we're thankful. Help us to realize that apart from Thee, our situation was hopeless as well. And may it give us a newfound appreciation for our Savior. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that's not yet saved, maybe they've tried a number of things and yet realized that it hasn't satisfied the deepest desires of their soul. But they still feel the burden and weight of their sin. Might they come to Christ. And might they find a place of forgiveness in Him. So Lord, use the message this morning for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn 131, Jesus Paid It All. 131.